Football is around the corner, and we are ramping it up over here on the Ringer NFL feed in the month of August.
Every week, Ben Solak and I will be bringing you not one, but two extra point takens. That's right, double the trouble as we predict, debate, and analyze our way through camp and the preseason every Monday and Friday.
But that is not all. Stephen Ruiz and I will be coming to you every Wednesday. We'll talk about everything in the world of the NFL. And who knows, maybe Stephen will even have something nice to say about your favorite squad. Though, frankly, I wouldn't count on it.
Subscribe to the Ringer NFL show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
And be sure to follow the Ringer NFL on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Ringer NFL.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Lot of big news today. There's going to be no talk of hobby drama. Simply the most massive shape-shifting. Jesse screamed at me. That's the problem. Jesse yelled at me.
I broke his brain
right beforehand.
It wasn't right before.
He pulled a classic mic, screamed, overreacted, screamed at me.
I don't know where it came from.
I'm not
going
to tell you what he said.
Don't.
Oh, dude, trust me. It would be, you'd get you canceled since he called me.
Okay, first off,
ridiculous.
This is an over-exaggeration. I did get a little heated.
I got a half-hearted apology after.
A half-hearted?
And so I'm just letting it sink in.
I don't even apologize to my wife like that.
Great husband. But we're talking about the Panini news today.
Big news.
There has been, this actually released Monday. This came out Monday.
Right after the podcast ended.
An hour after we stopped recording on Monday. We did an emergency podcast live on YouTube that night.
Check it out still. It's
one of our best, YouTube views. Anyways, the long of it and the short of it, mostly the short of it because I don't have enough time to get into this. Ravel's going to join us here in a few minutes.
He's the one who initially broke this news.
He still has more connections, I feel like, in the media than anybody, including us, anybody in the sports card world.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's just no question. So the NFLPA on Monday, quick recap, NFLPA comes out and says, we are terminating our contract immediately, they don't specify why, with Panini cards. And then we're going exclusive with Fanatics. Now, we have, just to be very clear, we have not talked to Fanatics or Panini and got any type of official statement, but all we can go on is what is out there in the public. So, NFLPA, we're done with Panini. We are now exclusive with Fanatics. What that means is Fanatics now holds the rights to use the name, image, and likeness of the players in the NFLPA, including their autographs, if they have deals with them. That's on Monday. That then would mean Panini can still make football cards because they still have the league license. Huge distinction. Panini still has a deal with the NFL, so they can still use team names, logos, etc. They can't use the actual players who are wearing the jerseys. Fanatics has the players in those jerseys, but can't use the team names and logos. Horrible, horrible news right off the bat. Then we get someone, you can jump in anytime too if I leave off the high details. After that, Panini goes back at them and says, hey, you've breached the contract. You know, we're going to continue just to make product until, because it did say effective immediately.
Do you want me to? I've got it right here.
Yeah, please.
So they came out and said, we believe this was a totally.
You said enough. That's just an apology. I don't want to hear another freaking
word. Apologize.
Go ahead, I'm kidding.
We believe this was totally unwarranted and improper action by the NFL Players Association.
Read that line again.
In conjunction with Fanatics, especially in light of the unprecedented sales by Panini of NFL trading cards. Panini has grown the category of sports trading cards by over 1,000% since 2009 to benefit all concerned. We believe the only party who benefits from this action by the NFL Players Association is Fanatics, and not the players, the leagues, or consumers. We note that in addition to the NFL Players Association's license, Panini has licenses with the NFL and over 360 individual players. Panini will honor all of its contractual obligations.
I'm curious. So a lot of people took that right off the bat to mean they will honor their redemptions because they have deals with players. That was the it's been difficult to get those anyways. And then yesterday we find out even more. Now Panini, or the NFL releases a statement, the PA basically saying the reason we're terminating the contract is because of a change in management.
Yeah.
Is there anything more specific?
It was like change of leadership specifically. So that would mean high up executives at the company, which, if you all remember earlier this year, that is one of the reasons why Panini filed a lawsuit against Fanatics, because they felt that Fanatics came and poached their top people. And that is what now NFLPA is saying. Well, that's the reason why we left, because those people are no longer there.
I'm very curious on the legality of that. If you sign a contract with a company, even if the president of the company leaves, you still have a contract with a company, I would think.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know. Maybe that was in the language. We haven't seen the contract they had initially with Panini, so I don't know.
You would think that they would, if there was something that said like a non-compete, you can't go work for another one of our competitors, then yeah, there's definitely a leg to stand on for Panini. But you would think if that was the case, they would have said something.
And I'm actually thinking from the NFL side. Like, what gives the NFL the right to, even if there was a non-compete from Panini, that doesn't affect the NFL.
No, I wouldn't think so. But in this case, if they don't like current management, or they just preferred the management that was there, and if that is really 100% the truth, because we know what they tell us, right? We can speculate on what there may be real reasons for. Like, one of the things I think I mentioned in our live on Monday night was, it may be that Panini kind of shot themselves in the foot when they came with that initial lawsuit a couple weeks ago against Fanatics, because that opened the door for Fanatics to come back and file a suit against them, wherein they claimed that profits were misrepresented. And maybe that's what NFLPA saw. And they said, hey, we're not getting, maybe they thought they were deserved more, or they should have gotten more. And they're using that as the reason, because.
But interesting, they didn't quote that at all. They just simply said the change in management. Do you have that? Do you have that tweet? The change of or whatever that information. The quote there.
I don't have that because I'm sure it's out there somewhere. I got that from Sports Card Investor, from Jeff's page. I've heard other people say it, but I have not actually seen where they said that. But that's something that we can ask. I kind of figured when Ravel came on, we could clarify with him.
That's fine. So, in the interim, we're left in a weird situation because basically, as it stands right now, it seems like things are obviously going to get... Well, the other piece I forgot to mention yesterday as well, NFLPA came out very specifically and said, effective immediately, we don't want you printing cards anymore. You no longer have the right. And Panini said, we're going to continue to release what we already have, what has already been approved, which according to a couple of people I spoke to in the industry, 3 to 6 months of releases. Like, those releases are approved months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. The photography, the licensing, the deal, all that.
Yeah.
So that, you know, so maybe we are still going to have months, but it's definitely going to get tied up in the courts, it looks like.
Well, at this point, Panini has now said they're going to try and find an arbitration method to resolve this, where essentially instead of taking this to a full blown like jury and court,
I'd arbitrate it.
They were going to find an arbitrator to come between them. And I'm sure there's something, a lot of contracts say like, you know, you can choose that as an option. And that's probably what they're doing.
I mean, it's probably the better option. Just go to the table. I'm telling you, that would be great. Live negotiation on air with the NFLPA. Me as the arbitrator, I take my first Adderall, three cans of Celsius.
The issue with the arbitrator role is like, now all of this will happen behind closed doors.
Is that legally binding, by the way? Do you know?
Yeah, it is.
So what arbitrator says.
You go what you have to. That's one of the good things, bad things.
What if you both disagree with it, both parties?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's still, yeah, I think it's still binding. That was my understanding.
It is binding in baseball. Like, for example, Carlos, jump in if you know, but like when a player used to select going to arbitration as opposed to like opting in, what the arbitrator said, like kind of was set in stone. So I do wonder if that, isn't that right, Carlos?
I honestly have no idea.
Yeah, I would
Carlos, ask. Carlos, welcome back from Sweden. Thank you for your contribution. No, just kidding. Was it Sweden, by the way?
Yeah.
It was Sweden.
Switzerland? Oh, Sweden. Dang it. Yes.
People from Sweden are Swedes. People from Switzerland are Swiss. People from the Netherlands are Dutch. Is that right?
No, they're Nethers.
The Nethers. That's right. That's okay.
The Nethers.
So all of this, though, has been unfolding the past couple of days. The other crazy thing about all this now, too, is there's still this major monopoly antitrust lawsuit going on between Panini and Fanatics. Anyways, now all of a sudden they may take over football this year as well. But as it stands,
But the issue there, though, is even though NFLPA has pulled out, NFL has not pulled out.
So that's what I was going to say. So as of right now, though, you have literally the worst of both worlds. You have one that can make cards that are officially licensed and logo with the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You have another that has the rights to the players. Now, at least from who I spoke to as well, they did say now individual deals would still be able to be made and withheld. Example being the NBAPA has an exclusive with Panini, yet LeBron, who's a part of the Players Association, has a separate exclusive deal with Upper Deck.
Sure.
He is still able to. So, and then that's why yesterday's statement was interesting. Panini saying, hey, here's why it's weird to me, though. 3-4 weeks ago, Arch Manning signs a deal with Panini that everybody under the sun knows about. Press releases, news all over the place. It's major news.
Mm-hmm.
Now they come out, I think it was yesterday, where they said we have 360 players signed up.
Yes. Yeah, that was what the initial response from Panini said. Yeah.
So if that's the case, again, we can get I want to clarify that with Ravel too.
They said 360 contracts. I don't know what that actually meant as far as like, are those all existing contracts? Like, I mean, currently playing players, or are those also guys who have retired already?
Well, that wouldn't count, though. So that's the difference. So retired players and people not in the league yet are not in the PA. Same way Panini makes baseball right now without the MLBPA. Sure. They can make retired products. Mm-hmm. This year is a good example. 2023, all Panini product has been retired or prospects, not in the PA.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do with Ravel. I'd like to get some clarity on some of these specific points. I don't need to recap the whole story. I like Darren. He's a little bit winded. I want to get this thing focused and really get some specific answers here and see, what he knows. I'm very curious about the whole arbitration thing. I'm curious too about the NFL and the NBA, by the way. Because that is my next question. Here's the first thing that came into my head when we heard this news too. By the way, Carlos, when Darren gets here, just add him in. We'll just roll right with it. The first thing I thought of was the NFLPA. NFL are not making decisions so that in a month they find themselves in front of a grand jury. That doesn't make sense to me.
I wouldn't think that would be the case.
I would think that if you are breaching this contract, terminating a contract, whatever, I would just have to think an organization like that
consulted their lawyers. They knew beforehand that they were going to be
because,
okay.
Again, we talk about Fanatics coming in and being the biggest fish in the room in the sea of cards in the hobby, no question.
Yeah.
It's not the case with the NFL. Like, the NFL is on a whole nother planet.
Yes.
So that was my first thought. My second thought was, well, if there's enough evidence here and whatever to constitute them doing this, well, wouldn't that also hold true for the NBA, PA?
That's what,
did they pull out next? Maybe not. I have no idea. And then my next thing, again, third thought and final one would just be, so then when does the NFL follow suit? When do they say, hey, same thing, we're pulling out for X, Y, Z reasons? And then if that happens, now Fanatics holds the keys to the kingdom. They've got both. They've got the players and the logos.
So I don't know if it was from like the Ken Golden Live or if it was something else.
The one that I was on.
You did get featured in
there. By the way, Grant from Backyard on with us. It's like 10 o'clock at night. Kid just sitting there shirtless, flipping his phone around. We got his dog and his girlfriend.
He lives in Florida. I wouldn't wear a shirt.
But I was just like, why is this guy on the live? Nice kid, but I'm like, added nothing to the conversation.
Oh, don't stop. Anyway,
everybody else was great. I like him. I like his brother Nick even better. But I was like, what is this goofball doing here?
What was I even talking about? Yeah. Ken Golden had mentioned something about how some of players' associations and the leagues themselves have not always seen eye to eye. So it may be that. Yeah, NFL could follow suit just because the NFLPA pulled out. But there's also been other situations apparently in the past where that has not been, they haven't seen eye to eye, and they would almost do the opposite of what the other association did. So It could be that they follow suit, but it definitely there's still a world where we see no real substantial product in 2023 if Panini is not allowed to put out their current roster of product, because you would either have cards that have names and likenesses but no teams, or you'd have teams with no names and likenesses. So what's the point?
Well, and even that, I don't know that Panini's in a spot to go out and just do that now anyways. Like for baseball.
Well, like, I was thinking like more Fanatic. I would think Fanatics would probably do like,
just go
I
mean, put out unlicensed product.
But I mean, like, what do you, I guess you're just putting, you're doing something similar to what MLB or what Panini's done with MLB in that situation. Cause they've done names, but no teams, no logos or anything.
I guess I'm just curious. Who knew this was coming? That's my other major, major question. If you know this is coming down the pipe, then if you're both sides, then if you're Fanatics and you know it's coming, perfect. We're ready to roll. We got product. The presses have already been running. We're good to go the day we get this sure. notice. If you're Panini, same thing is true. If we know this is coming, which it sounds like they had no clue. So I don't know who knew what, but if I'm Panini and I know this is coming, then my first thought is we need to have all these vets, and maybe they did, 360 people. Everybody needs to be signed up, ironclad, so that we can, if the worst happens and we lose the PA, then we are ready to go with the vets just right out of the gate. But if I'm Panini too, I mean, it sounds like they're at least until his arbitration happens. I don't know when that'll be. Like Luminance came out yesterday.
Yeah.
There was no delay there. Selling
it.
We just got encased is shipping to us. We were just told on Monday. That comes out next Wednesday.
Well, I think the whole arbitration going that path is hopefully to put like a stopgap in between this hard and fast. Like you can no longer sell any of this product because we are still like, this is still being worked out in the courts type of thing.
And honestly, in a perfect world, because obviously the deal is going down, in a perfect world, the arbitrator, the court, however, whoever ends up being the deciding factor says, you know what, Panini, show us your current roster. What designs, what sets have already been signed off on? Again, I've been told by multiple people it's going to be 3 to 6 months, probably closer to 6 months. Those are ready to go. If that's the case, we see almost no hiccup here. We've got 6 months lead time. Fanatics can ramp up, decide what they're going to do, start getting things ready. If a deal can be made with the NFL, because that's still the whole underlying issue. And then for the first time, and I did not think I would be saying this, I am actually starting to wonder if Fanatics is going to buy Panini.
I don't think that should be a thought. I think it's a don't probability. No. I'm saying I don't think like,
I've already been scolded. Very high, I don't need to be told I'm stupid.
I think there's a very high chance of that happening.
I'm not saying
it's necessarily Fanatics that would do the buying, but it would make the absolute most sense. I think what would happen is you would see Panini get split off into multiple different areas where their IP and licensing that they still hold would get sold off. So you would obviously have Fanatics buying football and basketball, and they would hopefully even take some of that IP of like maybe Prism or
Flawless, NT.
Yeah.
And you have, because if you do that, you would then own everything, right? You'd have the deal with the NFL and the PA.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have product ready to go.
So there's that. And hopefully you would even like be able to sell off the contracts with the card companies or the card manufacturers. It'd be a real easy transition.
Not to mention that if that happens, I would think all pending lawsuits are done.
No, exactly.
Like the monopoly, the antitrust, everything, I would think.
So
is Ravel standing us up, by the way? What is going on here?
I just messaged him.
Do you have a phone number for him, or are we just doing this through Twitter?
I just have his email. And yeah. So there's that aspect of it. But then you also have like the fact that Upper Deck might come in there and maybe take some other parts of it.
Say that again.
Upper Deck coming in and taking other parts as far as like, what if it's a whole sell-off of Panini? Like, Panini sells everything. Like, they've got soccer, they've got wrestling, UFC, all these other things. Obviously, Upper Deck is really known for
hockey and more than anything and right individual now. Deals.
So it could be that. Or it could just be that Panini sells off those other portions, and then they just continue with their soccer, NFTs, all the other stuff that they're still known for. So, but I don't see a world where they just sit there with licenses and do nothing with them or put out product that people just aren't going to like.
Yeah, because I will be honest. I don't find either of those options for products desirable. It's different than baseball to me and to most collectors. I don't want to go out and buy a product where Jim Kelly is the big chase. And I love Jim Kelly.
Sure.
And the other thing too is there's not really a prospect system like there is in baseball and football. Like in product last year, even you were getting Ellie De La Cruz in some product. oh, cool, I can get a guy who then J-Rod was in stuff last year. Mm-hmm. And again, they had the PA, they still had the PA deal, so that's different. But I just mean you had guys last year, and even this year, Anthony Volpe, Jordan Walker, there was still like that cool, awesome chase. As a matter of fact, Ellie De La Cruz was in stuff this year from Panini, now that I'm thinking of it. That's just a game changer. But if you told me, hey, here's the two options, you can go buy vets and college kids with licensing, with logos.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, there was also something about the NCAA.
Your ADD is so bad today. Like, I think it may be the caffeine as well, but
I'm
like,
hurt.
We are like jumping around so much. We can't, it's not like it's bad though. You're hitting all the topics we need to talk about, but it's like, we need to focus down on one and then discuss that and then go to the next one. But that's okay.
I'm dealing with a womb. So
I apologize.
But this is the overall thought though. I'm just saying as it sits, I just don't find either desirable.
I agree.
I don't want to buy the vets and that stuff. And I don't want to buy college or non-logoed stuff either. For the NFL, at least.
I've felt the same way even about the Panini baseball for these years. I know people still like it.
It's always been different. Yeah,
but it's just never been one of those things. If I'm going to collect anything, I want all of it. You know,
I'm also in the minority there, though, I think. I think I'm one of the few.
I think there's a lot of people who do still enjoy it, for sure.
There's definitely a lot. But hardcore collectors, I think, have by and large passed on the majority of it.
Like, they don't care about it? They don't want it? Is that what you're saying? Like, they think it's bad?
So I would say if you just took 100 people who are active break customers,
okay,
baseball specific, 100 guys just across the grid, and you said, okay, how many of you guys buy Panini baseball? And you broke it up to Immaculate, NT, Flawless, like the big ones.
Okay.
I think 60, 70% would say, yeah, I'm in on that. Like, not licensed, I get it, but it's an awesome patch, awesome card. I like it no matter what.
Yeah.
But if you said, okay, take out those three, how many do you got of the 100? How many are buying Select, Prism, you know, those? I think it's like 20 to 30%. I think it's way, way lower.
Okay, maybe.
And in football, I think it is. I mean, football is the most team fanatic sport of anything. Baseball is crazy because of prospecting.
Yes.
Dude, everybody loves Ellie. I don't care that he plays for the Reds.
Yeah, well, like, especially
everybody loves
change.
See what I did there?
Not one.
No, but like I just think prospecting just has encompassed baseball more than anything. Football, you love your team. Like, football fans are fans of the team, their player.
100%.
So I just think it's a major.
Well,
I think we're going to obviously learn a lot more, but it is interesting to me to see how this goes. The other thing real quick I want to touch on with this. Go ahead.
I was just going to say.
Same topic. I'm not leaving.
As far as product goes, though, we do know in the next month, like I pulled this up before we started the show today, you've got 2023 Panini Donruss Elite Football. You've got Mosaic Football.
In cases next week.
You've got Black Football. You just had Luminance, and you got In Case.
You have In Case for next week, right?
Actually, you said that. I didn't have that on. Oh, no, it is.
Okay.
I do.
It is on 30.
Here. Yeah, 30th. So you've got, what is that, 5 products over the next month? And
those are printed and ready to go.
You would think those are printed and ready, right?
No question.
Because it takes time to ship, box, ship, get to the middleman, and then the middleman gets to you, right? If you're the seller, and then it gets to us, the consumer. So obviously we would think that stuff's already done. But if there is no arbitrator, say they can't get the arbitrator to agree or whatever, the contract doesn't deem this being an arbitration qualifying move, they would not have that option. And they would essentially be open to lawsuits if they don't stop selling products. Even if it sounds like even if that product is already made. I reached out to Paul Lesko, you know, the lawyer that we had on a few episodes ago.
The guy you dressed up for, I know.
Paul Lesko is a heck of a guy, very knowledgeable. And I did ask him about the arbitration thing. He did mention that even if they do arbitration, it's not like it's going to be a super fast situation either. He said that's going to be like a year or something.
Oh, then actually, even if that's the case, that's a win because the only thing that cannot happen is we cannot have all of a sudden, hey, tomorrow, Friday, August 25th, guys, you can't release these. By the way, I'm good with Ravel.
I haven't even heard anything from him. Yeah, I don't know.
Carlos, if he comes, don't let him in the room, please. I'm already angry, and he 15 minutes late. We're good here. But the continuation of that though is is there a world where you're going to miss this entire crazy hyped up QB class? It's already fractioned off anyways because of the autograph stuff, and now it's like now we might not get anything. So what did Sports Boy do in his infinite wisdom?
What did I? Oh, yeah.
Went out and bought Penny Indians?
Well, here's the thing. I did something else besides that. I'll tell you afterward. But yes, I did. So when we were doing the live on Monday, I just was like, you know, because we started thinking, okay, so what are some of these
this
cards?
This was all your thought. Smart, very intelligent thought. I hate to say it.
Well, a lot of these thoughts that you've come back with are sharing or some of my thoughts. It's okay. It's fine. The idea was that we were showing what sales were going for either Luminance or just the autos that were for Bryce Young and for Stroud that came out from Panini earlier in the year,
Panini
right?
Like
there was a Panini Instance.
Yep. Pro uniform.
Pro uniform, yep. And auto, yep. Which is something that obviously we're not getting, even if they can continue making product.
Right.
So the question was that just going to be the only NFL? Because, I mean, obviously we know that Fanatics won't have NFL licensing to make something with their logos on there.
We don't think,
at least at this point. So the thought was, okay, these cards may be super valuable, especially if you think that they're going to do well. eBay's for sale, they had not sold yet, but for sale, those cards, $80,000 that were listed.
Yeah, yeah.
Again, but then there were others, $50,000, $40,000.
And there were some sales in the $5,000 and $6,000 range.
Oh, yeah, there was over, I think, $5,000.
Yeah, because like to your point, that was the thought. This might be the only true year rookie pro uniform autograph for some of these guys.
So
could be interesting.
That was, so while we were on that live, I went ahead and just bought some no-name graded,
sweet kid.
Put a 10 on a card for the base. It was not autos. And I just bought one of each for like $50. It was way overpriced. But at the time, there was a lot of adrenaline, a lot of things going around. So I did pull the trigger on those. The thought though is, all right, you buy the product. The reason why we were even thinking about it was because what if there is no 2023 sure. football product?
Here's your only because rookie.
Here you have to start talking about that. Because what happens? What happens to the product that's out there? Does that mean Luminance is all of a sudden like the product of the year?
So there's a premium put on anything that has come out for 23.
Because I started looking. 2023 seems to be anywhere where they're pre-selling it, like on Blowout mm-hmm. or
DNA,
it's sold out.
Not like, to mention, well, and I think a lot of that's just them saying, we're not selling right now. They want to see.
There could be that too. But
definitely, there's no chance they sold out. Like Blowout is never sold out of anything.
Well, I mean, they'll say sold out.
That's what I mean.
But yes,
so,
yeah.
So the other thought too that kind of couples with that is, and I actually agree on this too. Okay, I'm a heavy football break. Like you go on TikTok right now, football breaking is more popular than anything on TikTok. Like you go on Card Shop
yeah,
Live.
Yeah, I would say myself, yeah, for sure.
Baseball. We're crushing baseball. TikTok, huge, which right now is blowing up, is football almost exclusively.
Yeah.
Like everybody.
I would say even in breaking communities. Like if I'm watching Backyard, I feel like they're almost always, it's either football or basketball, sure. Very rarely
but
baseball.
If you have built your community, that's what they want. Well, you can't just take a month off. So what do you do? And again, we're playing the what if no product's coming out. Okay, Luminance, Encased, the few that we've had, fine. Mm-hmm. But then it's okay, back to 22.
Exactly.
And then back to 21. So
that was the other thing I was going to mention that I did.
There's potential. So you bought something stupid, I guarantee.
I did, but I canceled it the next morning.
What did you attempt to buy?
2022 Prism Football.
Here's the only thing. I like that product. I'm fearful of was it a box or a case?
Box. Two boxes.
1600 or more?
No. They're still not going for that. I could still go out and buy it right now. Each per box,
yeah,
it was $1,050.
Oh, so more than 1600. I'm saying 16 for both.
Oh, for both. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's the only thing that scares me with that. I'm glad you canceled.
Because
you have been on a streak lately. Messy tickets.
You know, I thought like either way, because the
burning
blowout,
money on this vacation.
Blowout is selling was again, that product is selling saying sold out right now. It was selling for $999.
So
I was like, you know what? I'll get close to what I bought it for.
I think that's a real play though. I think we're gonna see people go back. If there's even fear that this stuff may happen, I think we could see that.
We have to warn about like the select though, because of those XRCs.
What happens with XRCs?
We gotta talk about redemptions now too. Cause like that's
we do, but that's the other thing that terrifying, right? If you buy 22 redemptions and next year Panini doesn't earn 6 months, they don't have these rights and licenses anymore. It's already difficult to get them. And the names that have been redemptions the past few years,
mm-hmm.
Kenny Pickett. You know, Purdy wasn't a few. Justin Fields almost exclusively. Even Zach Wilson, I know nobody cares about him now, but like, there's some major names. That, to me, is scary as well.
Well, the thought on the redemption field is that they are going to, they have to fulfill obligations, right? That's what they're saying, at least. Panini's.
But it's already been ruled in the court that you can, because they already had that lawsuit last year about mm-hmm. redemptions or something of similar value.
So that's, at least there's.
Scares me too, though.
That's a good thing, though, because I mean, I saw someone make a post about this with Topps previously. I don't know if this is still the case, but they never did that. Once it was expired, like there was no.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. And there wasn't like any additional. You either got the card or you didn't get anything type of thing. So people are. I'm not saying like.
Get rid of expiration dates, by the way. That solves redemption problems.
Oh, 100%.
There should never. This is one of the few things I think Leaf does absolutely right. I've said that before. Like I messaged Brian before I bought cases a few months ago, and he said, nope, there are no expiration dates.
Which is great.
Absolutely. Because at least then, even if you don't have the thing 5 years from now, okay, it's a $300 auto, whatever it might be. Hey, here's $300 worth of wax. At least you're getting something.
Yeah. And then as far as the redemption goes, I did make this point on the video podcast. And I do think it would be a really, really bold move for Fanatics to do this. If you guys get the licensing and you can do it, encourage these signers to sign these cards. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, if they're the ones who have the NFLPA, which they definitely have that now, encourage them to go and sign those cards. Because, it doesn't benefit you at all, right? Like, you're not getting any money for it. But at the end, you want to be the hobby hero. There is no better press, I think, in that situation than to help.
A selfless move.
Exactly. To help those guys. And it's not really hurting you either. So, just guys, Fanatics, I know you listen to the pod. Please, just consider it.
That would be amazing. All right, next big story that came out this morning.
No, we can't. We're not done talking about this. We have, there's several other topics to talk about with this.
Okay, good.
So we did talk about 2023 NFL, the price jump. Are you expecting a price jump already? Like the products that have come out, Luminance? Because there's not already.
Yeah, that's what I said.
At this point, you should go out and buy it then.
No. I'm not saying that. I think the price will go up. I'm not buying any football right now.
You don't buy any football. Okay.
I want to know what it does. I'm not making a move.
Here's the thing. There were like, has he shown up, Carlos? Did he ever try and get in, Ravel?
I hope he did, and Carlos shut him out.
No, I haven't seen him.
Man, that's such a not cool move.
Amazing. I make a joke and get screamed at. This guy blows us off. You don't say a word about it. I'm kidding. I don't need you yelling again. Take it easy.
Shut up. You are going to, you know what? Before we go on, we can switch. Let me go ahead. Someone sent this in to us today. I wanted to go ahead and play it.
This is what I hear.
You're on that podcast. Yep. Sports cards nonsense, right? I thought so.
Yep.
I was going to tell you something.
Thank you.
What was it? Oh, yeah. Go kill yourself.
Did that guy say that? Somebody sent that in to us, and it was not very nice, so... Anyways, I just wanted you to hear that. We can go ahead and jump. That's fine. We'll hit the other ones in mailbag. So even though Ravel wasn't here to talk about it, which is not cool at all, and I will go off with you later, I'm going to keep my cool on the podcast. So,
hey, call Jeremy real quick, please. Eisenberg. I was texting about the arbitration thing. I think you could add a little bit of clarity to this because I am very curious on this arbitration thing. Back to our opening topic. This is our agent from Octagon. I feel like he can add at least some info. On the because that is my big question. Is an arbitrator in this instance just like, hey, end all be all, this is what it is, it's over? Because that would be wild. He's probably sitting in an airport terminal, background noise, hang up on him. Just kidding. We love Jeremy.
Mr. Gibson.
What's up, Jeremy? How are you, man?
I told him he was on the pod. That's why he called you.
Yeah, exactly. No. He always calls me that. Jeremy, if you have a quick second, we wanted to get your thoughts on the whole arbitration thing. Do you have any?
Jeremy, we need some clarity because we're dumb. This whole thing with Panini's requested an arbiter for the whole NFLPA thing. If they go to an arbiter, is that like binding? Like what he says goes no matter what? Is that generally how that works?
It'll say it and specify it in the agreement between Panini and the PA, whether or not the arbitration is binding. If it's binding arbitration, then yes, whatever the judge, it's generally a judge or a retired judge or someone with meaningful judicial experience that serves as the arbitrator in these proceedings. But yeah, if it's binding arbitration, then whatever is decided there is binding on both parties. There is something referred to as non-binding arbitration where they try to come up with a resolution. And if neither party, if either party disagrees, then they're free to proceed to court.
Is that something we'd find out like ahead of time? Like when the public find out, hey, this is going to be binding or non, or would that just be after the fact?
It'd probably be after the fact. You know, the other part of these arbitration hearings or mediation hearings, it's all private. It's all confidential, unless, you know, either party decides to disclose it, within the parameters of whatever confidentiality agreements, are, you know, overriding the proceedings. But yeah, it's probably unlikely, except for leaks, that we would get a very, you know, definitive understanding of what the resolution was, except for what happens with the in the market itself.
All right, last question. Have you heard any confidential information from the NFLPA? Have any of your people been talking to you? Dang it, Jeremy. No, I thought we were breaking news.
Everybody is tight-lipped. It's a complicated situation. And the unfortunate, you know, side of this is it looks like the collector is gonna lose, unless these guys can find a way to work together to serve the market. And as well as the hobby is doing right now, we want to maintain this momentum, continue to bring new collectors in. I think Panini and Topps have both done a lot to contribute to the success that the hobby has today. Are there problems? Yeah, for sure. There are lots of problems, lots of opportunity to get better. But this process is only going to risk the success that the hobby's experiencing, and I hope for the whole industry that it's resolved quickly.
Thank you, Jeremy. Really appreciate it, man. That's exactly what we needed to know.
My pleasure, fellas.
All right.
Thanks, man. See ya. My next question, how's that contract going with the Spotify? Hey, Jeremy, how's our arbitration going with Spotify? Are we in arbitration?
I don't think that's how that works. Yeah. Okay. There's another question that comes up with all of this, too, is we talked about the NBA, like, possibly following suit. If NBA does follow suit, then when is that? When does NBA product usually start coming out for this year? For I guess it would be for the next year.
Yeah, Wemby stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good question. I would assume in the next month or so.
Because that would be, roughly. I think, this if you're will the NBA, be an you, overall big hiccup. But if you had NBA both? Also do it.
That's catastrophic.
Yeah.
If you're the NBA, though, you've got to be sitting back going, let's see what the arbiter says here. Right?
I would think so.
Because otherwise, like,
yeah, okay. I wouldn't make a Anyways. Move until I heard from that. But
Topps Pristine, can I brag for 2 seconds?
Yeah.
I am not often right. I am very public about saying that.
Okay.
Topps Finest to me was the product of the year. I am now bumping that to number 2. Topps Pristine is unfreaking believable.
Says the guy trying to sell you on it. Oh, go ahead.
Trust me. This is the pump. It. Oh, here's the pump. The dump will happen tonight. I'm going to be breaking all afternoon. We got 30 cases. It is amazing. It's
fire. He's literally shaking as he's saying it.
I do. I have been super happy.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I have actually seen other people say stuff about it.
Platinum Chrome Anniversary, a bit of a dud to me. Yeah, he's low end, but I was like, Archive Signatures.
Man, there was something else with the whole Panini. I do remember now. This was actually kind of Ravel? No, I'm not ripping Ravel live. I am gonna say something on tweeters. The whole thing with Panini and Fanatics, there is talk, which I don't know who this comes from or anything like that. There is talk that there is Fanatics and Panini, like main headquarters for Panini, not Panini America. But there's stuff that they're meeting already to discuss buyouts and stuff.
Have we
like
talked
that.
About this?
Why?
I didn't say anything to you about this, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, okay. Did you hear from an independent source?
I don't know where you
I'm
are
not,
wanting,
and I won't name my source. Okay.
Well, definitely don't.
Did you hear from anybody besides me, though?
No.
Okay. I was just curious.
But the person
like,
that you said who said, I trust that person.
I do too. I'm just, I thought you were coming to the table with another one. I was going to say that would be interesting.
Oh, if there was two. Yeah. That would be a different
Could be
story.
A real newsroom Here, situation.
You know what?
Though.
After you told me that, you know what I immediately did?
Called
I went
him
out and
her?
Started looking up private jets because you can track flight paths. Apparently, people who invest in like big time stock companies and stuff like that, they will look up like merger and acquisitions. If there's rumors of them, they'll start following the
what'd you find
the flight plans. Pass? No, I couldn't find their actual jet, unfortunately.
Well, Ruben's on vacation.
Well, I thought like, well, Ruben just posted some pictures of his jet. I tried to find it. If I could find like his tail number or something, I could find some information.
Unfortunately, I didn't see that. Michael Ruben's tail number. Shoot that over.
Exactly.
This almost wasn't a real newsroom situation.
Dude, though. If I found that, that would have been big breaking news. Yeah.
With Charlie and then Jeff Daniels' character.
Uh-huh.
Genoa. They're both getting the same thing and they have this aha moment like, oh, we both have these sources. And at the end, it comes out like, wait a minute, what's your guy's name? My guy's name and that guy's a scumbag.
Oh, wait.
Almost brought down the whole company.
So what we're saying is that is complete rumor. We don't know anything for sure. Again,
I trust the person. The person is not affiliated with either Panini or Fanatics.
Yes.
But somebody I do trust.
But
he doesn't say
high up
but
in
they
the
said it
world.
Off the record. I was just, that was interesting. I was like, dude, if you heard it from somebody else,
yeah,
then we're starting naming names and blow this whole thing up.
All right. So are there you go. We do have, well, here's the thing. Yeah, there are things that we'd never covered that are in the mailbag. So I think we could just go over at least some
Save
of them.
Save me
some
something of them we'll for skip. Next week. I got a whole week without you. I got
to
do something.
You know, all you have to do is post a mailbag post and
do
you're going to get
next
stuff.
Week.
Yeah, I look forward. By the way, guys, I'm out all next week. Mike will be here. I don't know if he's doing one or two episodes,
I'm
but either
two.
Way. He will be doing those episodes solo and or with the guest. Do you have anybody confirmed?
Eddie's going to join me for a day or two.
Okay.
I mean, for a few minutes on one show.
Nice.
We have a plan in place. We've been talking about plans for this expansion, this growth, this whole thing with the breaking. I told him I want to talk through it a little bit. And then we can kind of present it somewhat here. But anyways, he's going to join me for a few minutes. It's one segment. We'll just talk about the regular stuff. I don't know who's coming on for like segments or for like a show. I don't know if I'll have like a sit-in.
Okay. Well, either way.
I used to like solo shows.
I mean,
it's a different
what
speed
I appreciated
now,
when I did my last solo show was just having someone there just to, so even though they knew nothing about the hobby, it was just nice to have someone in the room.
So just to be clear, that's not a solo show. You had a guy with you the whole time.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like you going just solo talking and not even like a response or anything like that. I'm telling you, you would probably appreciate just having someone there, just even if it's Hannah, just sitting there.
You may be right. I've done that before, though. Like, that's what I started doing. That's the first 6 months I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is different. But for you, I think we've only ever done you with somebody else. It is a different world.
No,
I enjoy
solo. I've gone completely solo, and I definitely prefer it the other way. I like having someone there.
Have Papa Gio in next week.
Yeah, have Papa Gio in there. Well, just make sure he knows like the basic rules of how this works.
What does that mean?
Just don't say anything like you don't want other people to hear or know or...
Probably won't yell at me. Like,
tell you no, that, right? He probably would.
Okay. We'll figure that out. But yeah, next week, same schedule. Monday, Thursday, unless there's a development with the kid.
The Labor Day episode is off, though. So that one, we will not have one that
Tuesday,
day.
Thursday that week. Potentially.
No,
that
would
right?
be a Thursday. I'd do the Thursday episode.
Oh, we're taking
episode.
That other one off. Totally.
Yeah, the Labor one Day episode, which is on a Monday. That one is off.
Just taking off. Okay. Yeah. I'm good. That's fine.
Can I ask you a question that you don't have to say yes. Do you think you could like maybe just... tamp down any latent anger just for a couple minutes for the audience so that I could call Ravel real quick and just see if he has any additional information.
Go ahead. You can call. I'm not going to. I'm
okay. That's fair. That's fair.
Hello.
Darren, I do appreciate this. This is Jesse, by the way. How are you?
How are you?
You're on the podcast, by the way. We're just jumping right in because we're almost out of time. We're not going to get into the whole thing. Were there hurt feelings? Yes, but it's fine. It's fine. We appreciate all your posts that you've been making about the whole Panini situation in NFLPA. At this point, I would love to just get your take on where you think Panini is headed and what you think the future of the card market is going to be for NFL this year.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this whole thing is completely wild. The fact that the NFLPA was in Panini's offices earlier this month, and then all of a sudden Panini is apparently blindsided by the fact that all of a sudden, effective immediately, they do not have the rights to the NFLPA, to players' names and likenesses. You know, nothing like this has ever happened before. And then, you know, you're literally doing this days before your 2023 product is coming out, or actually hours. And how do you make a call on doing that? And the call they've made is that whatever the PA's decided, it's ineffective and it's not the reality. So now you have a situation where, okay, so now you're buying Luminance or whatever for 2023. They keep selling. Are you going to get it in 2 or 4 weeks, or is something going to happen with the mediation that now might happen? We now have the mediation that Panini is demanding. We have Panini in the Texas court over the conduct of Fanatics and their employees and Panini's employees. We have the antitrust lawsuit in Florida, Panini against Fanatics, and we have Fanatics against Panini in New York. All of this obviously has collectors just completely baffled, and we don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but the fact that it's tied up in the courts or the legal system in this way is actually really scary when we as collectors love what we do so much. And just think about the cottage industry. You guys have covered it ad nauseum. The cottage industry of the breakers. What happens now? So that's really, there's so many questions here, obviously, Jesse.
There was one point that I've seen was Jeff Wilson made a post about this, and I haven't seen anyone else confirm this, but he made a post yesterday that said the reason why NFLPA pulled out was because of the change of top leadership at Panini. Have you heard this as well? Is that true?
Yeah. So that came from my original report from David Boies, the lawyer for Panini, saying that's what he believed the breach was. So essentially, in these contracts, there are, clauses that say if there's a change in control or if there's a sale of the company. Obviously, the NFLPA and these guys are hoping to get around if there's a substantive change of the company, even though the company has the same name. If they have different leadership, maybe they don't want to be in the deal anymore. Now, Fanatics hired what Panini admitted was 7 high-ranking employees from Panini. And so I guess you could say, well, there was a change in control. Panini says that only 2 of them were vice presidents, and only 1 was reporting to the CEO, and that these people and their positions were filled within 2 weeks. So was there a change in control?
So Darren, just 2 quick questions here. I just want a little clarity, or just your opinion. What are the chances in your mind that the NFL itself does the same move, where they make a switch and terminate their deal with Panini and move to Fanatics? Do you think that happens? Likely, not likely? What's your thought there?
So, Ken Golden last night said, and I think it's right, that these guys, the NFL Players Inc. and NFLPA, they have not been lockstep with each other historically. However, it is damaging to the market. We can't have 2 or 3 years here of logo-less helmets. No collector, you guys know this, no collector is going to say, well, you know, hey, it's 2023. This will be the year we'll look at cards that are licensed by one or the other, and they'll look fake, but we'll still buy them. No one's going to put up with this. So I think everyone, you know, it would be in the best interest of everyone to make this happen. However, you have to remember the NFLPA has different legal counsel, different takes than the NFL Players Inc. guys do. And maybe the NFLPA thinks that this is right, and maybe the NFLPA and the NFL thinks this isn't, and that the legal exposure is too great.
There's no like, hey, one did it, the other's going to do it. These are very independent organizations.
Absolutely.
Okay, my last question then. I am curious because, again, you're the one who broke the story for the hobby world for sure, right? Like, you got this first. I am curious, same question. Do you think there's a chance the NBAPA does this now? Because that was kind of some of the first conclusions people had. If it was enough for the NFLPA to break it, there's enough here, and whatever the change of leadership, whatever it might be, is going to also be enough for the NBA. Do you think that's something we see happen?
It seems kind of tenuous to me. Like this is the breach. It's hard to say exactly what the NBPA, if they have the same contract. It'd be interesting if they have the same kind of breach terms. But I think it's also, you know, it's up to who is the lead, the general counsel, to make their call on whether they think that separation is legally responsible. What you have to remember here, I think this is a really important point that, you know, Panini has not really talked about much. Panini says we're competent. We've done a good job. Percentage revenue has gone up greatly since we've been doing this. But you got to remember, there is no request for proposal. There's no RFP that has to happen. The fact that Fanatic got long-term deals with everyone for the future, there's nothing wrong about that per se in terms of like what was supposed to be done. Fanatic also offered percentage ownership to both the unions and the league. So when you when Fanatic came out in their lawsuit against Panini and said, we just offered a better deal. This isn't monopolistic. Yes, we own all these things now, but this isn't monopolistic. We just offered them a better deal. And these guys are independently saying as executives that they think we had a better deal. So I think that's an important point to make among all this, that Fanatic did offer the ownership structure. And that does make a difference because no one had ever offered that before.
All right. So last thing, and then we're going to, we'll let you go because we've covered, I think, mainly everything else. Do you think there's a world at this point where we see announcements of Fanatics buying out Panini? And if so, because you missed the first part of the show, will you tell us first so that we can break it right after you?
Yeah, redeem yourself. That's what we're asking for.
I am sorry.
No, you're fine. Okay. Don't listen to the first 30 minutes. So
I do think there's a possibility that we have that Panini might be cut off and won't be able to sell their product. I think that's a possibility. I do think there's a possibility that Fanatics won't make any product. And I think there, again, probably 5 to 10% chance we're going to be in limbo with football cards here.
Okay. All right. That's
kinda... Hang on. So do you think there's a chance Fanatics buys Panini then?
I do think there's a chance Fanatics buys Panini, but they are warring. They are warring so much now that I'm not, you know,
you don't think they could come to a deal?
No, they're just such enemies that a lot of things have to come together and feelings need to go out the window. Like, let's get over feelings here and do what's best for Hobby. Because I will tell you this, I think you guys are in the same boat. Panini, yes, their customer service isn't good. They have millions and tens of millions of dollars in redemption. They're by a far stretch a perfect company. However, people want national treasure.
Absolutely.
People want Prism.
And they've been hugely responsible for the for a lot of the good that we've seen the past 10 years.
I think they have. You can separate some of the bad with, oh, you know, the customer service isn't good, this and that. Okay, but they have been part of the growth. It'd be disingenuous not to think so.
100%.
This is a very much a Revelle situation. He really tried to screw us showing up late, but then he also, to his credit, came on and did some good.
He did a lot of good. Yeah.
Both can be true. Darren, thank you for the time, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Scott.
We'll be in touch in the future.
Thank you. Thanks, Darren. Bye-bye.
You see that analogy at the end? Just part of what I bring to the table.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
What do you want to talk about now?
Fine. We're going right into Ohtani news.
There you go. Ohtani has a UCL sprain, potentially. I think at this point, it's actually a tear of some kind. Tommy John would repair that, but obviously it would put him out. So he is not. Here's what is conclusive with Ohtani.
Just to be clear, this is in his pitching arm, I assume.
Correct.
Right? Okay.
I think so, at least. Must be. Got to be. It's an injury from pitching. It has to be.
Okay, okay.
He is not. They've come out and said he will not be pitching the rest of the season. We're going to continue to evaluate to see his hitting. What's going to happen with him at the plate?
Oh, they think he could still hit even?
Oh, yeah. He did this a couple years ago, and he's had the same injury before. He's had Tommy John in the past, and he continued to hit. So here's what's interesting about that, though. The trolls and just losers on Facebook
jumping on board all day.
I mean, last night and this morning, as soon as the news broke, this is why you don't collect young guys. You know, see, knew it was coming. You know, all this stupid stuff. And what's amazing is, and then the other big shot people were taking is, yeah, nice job buying all those base cards for $20, the MVP buyback. Check the Vegas odds today. He is minus 700. The second closest is Corey Seager, who's also been in and out of injuries the second half of the season, plus 1,700. Otani does not need to go to the plate, doesn't have to show up to the stadium again this year. He's winning the MVP. So if you're that foolish, just know you're a donkey.
Yeah.
Period.
There you go. That's fair.
Also, the whole attitude of just celebrating now and terrible. Like, people celebrated the Wander thing. People are now celebrating this. There is so much joy from people getting crushed on values. His values are not getting crushed like Wander. But it is just remarkable. It really is just a laughable state of our hobby.
And we've talked about this. We talked about this when the Wander thing came out. I think it's important to talk about again only because we need to solidify that this is a bad thing. And people who do this are bad. So there you go.
And if you do it,
just stop doing it. You don't have to do it. You could stop. And if you see people doing it, don't jump in on their whole thing. Ignore them or delete it or whatever. Dox them.
Find where they work.
Find their family members.
Yep, make an accusation that will get them fired.
But don't stoop to their level. I'll keep it positive. That's all I'm saying. So Otani is at this point not an investment that you're going to buy into. Is that what you're...
I mean, if his prices came down today, I'd buy him today.
That's what I wanted to say. Like, if he comes down enough.
Of course.
He's an all-time great at this point. Like, you don't think so?
I mean, he's played like 3 years. I mean,
he's only played three years.
He's a great talent. I mean, how many games has he played?
He's not going to just leave the league. And he's been playing for 5 years.
How many games, though, has he played? I'd be interested. Yeah, check how many games. Because in 5 years, that's 800 and... Well, hang on. Don't say it. 162 times 5, 500, 300, 10, 810 games. Five full seasons. I'm going to say he's played no more than... Oh, wait a minute. I'm way off, aren't I? Five times 160. Oh, no, I'm right. Yeah, five times 160. Two. I'm saying it's 810. Let me get my calculator. Hang on. This is good for the podcast.
This is 162 so good.
Times...
I think you're right.
It is 810.
Okay.
I'm going to say he's played no more than 500. 550.
Okay. He has played.
What if I'm over exact? I might be way off on that.
Actually, we should not be just like waiting for me to find it because it's going to take a second to actually find
how many
total games he has played.
How many career games has Otani played?
Yeah. So
I'm games played. Yep.
692.
Really?
Yep.
-6.2 equals. That is interesting. He's 118. He's only missed that many. Interesting. I thought he missed.
That was in 2020. 2020, he only played 44 games.
Well, that was a short year anyway. It was only 60.
Yeah.
Do you have the individual breakdown by year?
Mm-hmm.
2018 is when he came up. How many did he play then?
104.
2019?
106.
2020, 44. Oh, to his credit, by the way, because it was only 60. Mm-hmm. So my 810 is off.
But then after that, 155, 157, and then 126 this year.
That's interesting. I thought he missed way more time than that.
That's why I say that.
He's an all-time great talent. He's obviously not all-time great because he's only been doing it a few years.
But as long as this doesn't completely take him out.
Which it won't. I mean,
that's what I mean.
Maybe, though, it takes him out of pitching all time. Like, maybe this is the... Because at some point, maybe you're just done with him as a pitcher.
Yeah.
And you just let him be a top, you know, maybe the best hitter in baseball. Okay. But it's not going to derail his career. He's going to win another MVP this year. Potentially, he leaves as a free agent and goes to a market that's going to be competitive in the playoffs. So these guys, like, initially, if you want to just get rid of your stuff now, fine. But the thought that, like, this is it is just, it's as dumb as anything I've ever seen. He's winning the MVP, and he's probably going to play again this year.
Now let's talk Trey Lance. He's
trash. He's third string now, right?
Third string. At least, well, actually, I don't even know if they've solidified third string.
Yeah, Darnold second.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Tyler and his trulies were in my pool yesterday, lamenting Trey Lance.
So Trey Lance, if you're still holding on to him, I guess what? You just
shelf it.
Shelf it. Don't even get rid of it.
Yeah. What else are you going to do now?
I mean, he still goes for $26. I don't know.
Yeah, just shelf it. See what happens. You never know. I mean, Darnold's not the starting quarterback in the league anymore. And who knows? We're going to get out of Purdy. I think he's going to be very good. But there's a possibility Trey plays again for them or somebody else.
Trey Lance still outsells Zach Wilson, I think.
Well, so. Zach Wilson's, yeah. I mean, yeah, garbage. You outsell Zach Wilson.
Really? You think so?
No, I don't. Not at all.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's also talk about cracking cleans. Or do you want to wait on that one and go to the LeBron Tops Now card?
I don't understand the LeBron Tops Now card. Somebody said this is indicative that he has a deal with Fanatics. I don't really know anything about it. So until I hear, I'd like to shelf that one.
Well, the thinking behind that is because he is appearing on a Topps card, even though he's been exclusive. That's really
he's not been exclusive with, he has been on Panini cards. His autos have been exclusive. That's what I mean. I don't know that this is a thing.
I thought it was something to do.
It might be. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, either way, there were 32,000 of those cards sold. There was the third most Topps Now card ever sold.
Who was he on it with?
Mookie Betts.
Oh, Mookie. That's right.
I bought 20 of them. So.
So that card's going to the gutter.
So as you can tell,
light your freaking money on fire.
But there were like some numbered cards in there that's just randomly inserted. So parallels and random.
I was curious. So when you buy it, you get one card in a pack?
Yeah. Well, you're buying it by the card.
But in other words, if I go in and say I'm buying one, is it just a base card or do they send you one? So that's what I mean. You could get a parallel.
Exactly. Yep. So that was my thinking. I was like, you know what? For 20, I think the cost came down as you bought more. So I bought 20 cards. They were initially $5 a card, but after you bought 20, it was like $80. So
the numbered ones have to be pretty good money then.
There have been a few in the past that have done really, really well. Man, I wish it's still they've taken the page down, so I can't see what the actual numbering was on them. So you'll more than likely see those flying through, you know, SGC, PSA, anybody who can get it graded, and then they can put it up online really fast because whoever does it first is going to make the most money, of course. But yeah, that was the LeBron news. Let's now go to the crack and clean,
the Trevor Lawrence.
That's what they're calling it now, crack and clean.
Which has been happening forever. So actually, we talked about Grant earlier. I watched his TikTok today, Grant from Backyard. He actually had screenshots. He said he reached out to the guy and had screenshots of the guy. Because my question was, how do we know this is the same card?
This was a Trevor Lawrence Color Blast that was initially graded a PSA 5. Supposedly, after he double-checked, the guy did crack this card, send it into BGS.
Send it to his grader to clean the surface.
Important.
And then send it into BGS. And it got a 10 pristine.
It was like a 10, 10, 10, and a 9.5.
Yeah, I think 9.5.
On maybe corners or something like that. But anyways, there is a lot of talk out there of the whole crack and clean. If this is just becoming a new way to call trimming. Because there are kits out there that are, yes, they come with cleaning. They come with wipes and all that stuff. But now there are some kits that are coming out with like a little X-Acto knives that like clean up a little edge or something like that.
Like by trimming it?
I mean, what else do you want to call that?
Okay, so that's too far. You want to wipe a surface down? I'm okay with that. I don't care about surface stuff. I never have.
No.
Because that's been happening, by the way, for years. Now, if you're trimming and altering a card, that's a little bit different. But yeah, if there's surface scuffs, whatever, and you can clean them off without damaging the card.
Here's my big concern. I've been thinking, I've purposely not said anything about it because it's nothing but negative, but it just makes complete sense that this is what's going to happen. As the hobby maybe loses people, we've obviously seen prices go down. Even if it gains people, if prices are not going up or people are still underwater or just people are more desperate to make money, you are going to 100%, you're already seeing it, we just don't know about it. People are taking cards. They are trimming. They're doing whatever they have to do because they have no morals. These are people who would be fine shoplifting or grabbing something that's not theirs, easily stealing. They are taking advantage of this by trimming a card that was worth $1,000 and sending it back in to get regraded, and it now worth $5,000. Why wouldn't they do that?
Who's doing this? What are you talking? I mean,
I don't know anybody specifically, but there's not a world where that's not happening.
I mean, here's the only difference. If I can shoplift, I can just get away with it and walk. The difference here is the grading is supposed to catch those alterations that are made.
Yeah, but they obviously don't. We already know.
We're saying,
We talked with Mathis that people do this all the time.
He's an idiot. Let's just be honest. That guy's a dummy. I don't know this.
He's doing something that I don't agree with, but that doesn't mean he's wrong.
Well, we asked him though. What did you have you? He didn't. He admitted he never admitted he trimmed cards or that he had cards trimmed sent in that he knew were trimmed that got graded. He just knew about them. Do I think it happens? By the way, of course. But like this Trevor Lawrence, I don't think there's a world where someone's trimming a Prism card in this day and age. I just don't, and it's getting through.
Okay,
maybe.
I mean,
I really do doubt.
So
that.
You think it's just an error that the PSA graded it a 5, or is it an error that BGS graded it a 10?
I think it's probably somewhere in the middle. I think PSA was probably very strict about something. I guarantee there was some issues with the surface that got cleaned up, and then BGS overgraded the card. So maybe. One undergraded, one overgraded, and there was a little bit of cleaning in the middle.
I like to think that the world has mainly good people in it, but there are enough bad people that I do not see how that is not happening as we speak.
I think it is. I just don't think it's as easy to get away with as it was presented that day.
I hope it's not as easy, but that doesn't mean that there aren't people who are good at it who are doing it.
Agreed. I don't disagree with that. That's why I said like I just think it's so much that's overplayed.
That's why, again, I think if there's a solution other than this, do it. But every card should have its own individual serial number. That's, I think, the only way you could ever really know.
Another comment. Oh, you know what was interesting, though? I thought it was funny Beckett was getting a lot of crap about this. Like, they were only grading this card to, like, make...
Well, you saw who was saying something. It was C-Blez was saying something about how Beckett is maybe grading easier. I don't know if that's true.
Is that the kid we met?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw... Do you have this video? Can we play that little clip of his?
Yeah, I think... Cardboard posted this, I believe, from C-Blez. And I think I have it
before you play it, though, let me say this.
Okay.
Oh, Beckett is doing this to get notoriety. He's doing this to make a splash. Well, somebody took 31 PSA 10 Michael Jordan rookies at the National and tried to get them crossed over to Beckett to be pristine or black label.
Mm-hmm.
None of them crossed. I am not the biggest Beckett fan. But if Beckett wanted to make a splash with grading... Let's get a black label Jordan rookie. You mean to tell me they didn't take advantage of that, but with a Trevor Lawrence color blast?
Hang on. But there's no world where they're doing that at the National. Like, why? If they're going to do it, they do that where there's not going to be eyes immediately on that.
But they wanted that would have huge
press around it.
That was the accusation here. They're doing this for press to make a splash with a Trevor Lawrence card.
Oh, I don't think they're doing it for press. I think they're doing it because people are going to see that, oh, well, I can... If I go there, my cards will be graded higher, and therefore I'll get more money when I go to sell them. I don't think it's a thing of wanting people to know about it.
Here is the true story, just to be very, very clear. Anyways, is Facebook is just going nuts over here, by the way. I don't know what just happened on my computer. All grading companies have inconsistencies at times, period.
Sure.
You could send the exact same card 10 times to SGC, PSA, BGS. There will be some variance in grade. I guarantee it. I happen to think, from my experience, SGC is by far the most consistent.
Yeah.
I hate the fact that Evan Mathis agrees with that because I think he's a donkey, but he did as well. I think they are the best and most consistent grader, period. They make mistakes as well. BGS makes mistakes all the time, PSA all the time. It happens. This whole thing about like this tinfoil theory, do you have the C-Blez thing? Because I am curious what he said then. Because I saw a caption around this.
If you notice, all these Kraken crosses are going from PSA to Beckett.
Okay, pause. Hang on. What all these Kraken crosses? The Jordans didn't.
Oh, not Kraken clean, Kraken cross.
Well, right. What all these are doing that? And not to mention the fact, who was taking a highly graded PSA card and taking the risk to go with Beckett when the resale value is a joke? This is what I mean, though. There's so many generalizations. I'm not even coming after that kid, but there's so many generalizations made about things like this. My question is always the same. Where's the proof of this? This is one example. Fine.
Yeah, that's fair.
Go ahead. I'm going to interrupt again. But let's...
All these Kraken crosses are going from PSA to Beckett. To me, this means that Beckett is trying to win business back. Over the last few years, as we all know, PSA has reigned supreme in the grading world over everyone else. And I think Beckett is making a big effort to give people high grades because...
Okay. Where are all the other examples of this? They're making such a big effort. This is a Trevor Lawrence color blast. Where's everybody else? Where are all the other just 10s floating around?
The only other one
black labels floating around?
It was that one instance we talked about. It was a Pokemon card that went from like a, I think it was a PSA 8 to a black label. That was the only other instance.
Okay.
But that's two.
You know how many times it's happened with me? With a pristine, once, a Royce Lewis back in 2018. Went from a BGS 9, it was already a BGS. I cleaned the surface down, came back a BGS 10, a pristine. This is, if this is happening, and again, maybe it is, let's hear about it.
Yeah.
Because there's been one video about one card that the guy admitted he sent to a professional subber. Those guys are great. They can work on things, especially if it's a surface issue. And quite frankly, I have an issue with some things that are alterations. I don't have a big issue with surface stuff. And if that's what it was, fine. But like this, they're doing this to win all this business back. And yet nobody can point to all these examples of it. So if that's true, then they're just the stupidest marketing people on the planet. You're doing this to win business back and there's no examples of it that they can readily point to.
Well, I think of it as like a guerrilla marketing thing. If they're, I mean, that's the main point. You got what it was, but that was it. If you're going to do something that you want to bring in business, but you don't want prying eyes, that's, I mean, that would be the way you do it.
But you get more prying eyes from it than anything. If BGS pristines start popping up all over the place, look at what happened with one card.
I'm not saying like a pristine. I'm just saying like taking a card and grading it higher than what it rightfully should have been.
That's the case, then every grading company is going to do it. Again, put everybody in a vacuum. If I give my customers higher grades, they're going to use me more.
Well, and that's why we hope that there's, you know, these, we can trust these companies. But this is where I think the only reason why this would even be thought of, and I agree with you. I don't think that Beckett is actually doing this, but I think the only time where you can even consider this is when companies start to feel the pressure of not being in the position financially that they once were. And not to say like you take the whole fact that the card market pricing has gone down over the last couple of years, you know, take that away. We obviously see less people are sending cards to Beckett than they are to SGC or even CSG in some cases. So it does make me think, is there a world where it could happen? Yes, I don't think it is.
And then again, that's always my challenge. If it's so rampant and this is their big thing, let's see, you know, this kid's sitting in a restaurant clanging dishes around. Just get some examples of it.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
Mailbag, Adam Dawson. This is a non-Panini question.
Give me 2 seconds because I want to listen. I had a few picks. We don't have to talk about this stuff. I thought I had
some. We did the picks. We covered them.
I take a lot of pictures. What do you want me to do?
No, just...
Oh, the little griffers? Look at that little guy. Okay, go ahead.
I'm telling you guys, I hope he takes them. I did bring pills to the office today. I hope he takes one for you. Adam Dawson still wants you guys to use your influence at SGC to get them to start grading, authenticating non-pack pulled autos.
I would love
that. Or find out why they don't.
I know exactly why. They don't have the time.
That's what I was going to say.
PSA is number one in volume. It's not close. SGC is number two, and it's not that close. Like, they are cranking. They're doing almost 100,000 cards a month now.
Yeah.
They're expanding. I think that's their focus.
So. I wouldn't say it's not something that they wouldn't do ever, but at this time, yeah, I don't think they can fit it in.
Yeah, I don't blame them.
The bandwidth is not there. Cole Benz, is it possible that there could be a freeze on the release of NFL products because of this? And if so, could you see baseball products increasing in value? So this is actually something, funny enough, I was looking at in the TCG world because I noticed like Lorcana is absolutely insane. By the way, individual packs, there's 24 packs in a booster box of Lorcana. Individual packs are going for like $15 online. I went out to eBay and double checked.
$360.
I went over to Shep's, our local card shop. No, I think it's like, I thought it was like 400, or maybe it is 300. I can't remember. Actually,
yeah, we're good.
He confirmed guys are doing this and some are doing it for even more, like $20 a pack. They're going, because he's selling it for $300 a box in store. And then you go out and you see like on eBay, like people are buying it up. So, but at the same time, I noticed that Obsidian Flame, the new Pokemon product that was like really popular, it's going down a little bit in price.
Is that because of the Lorcana demand?
Well, I think like, you know, those are
cannibalizing.
Cannibalizing one to feed the other. And I wondered the same thing. If football does do, you know, if there's not football product, do prices start going up on other ones because they breakers and sellers may know like, oh, well,
so I think
this is all you have. And
I think no. I think old football goes up. If you have a, again, if you're a football based breaker, like we said earlier,
yeah,
you're not going to all of a sudden be like, hey, but I got all this great tops pristine.
Sure.
You're going to say, hey guys, we're doing some retro football. Here's 22, 21, 20 product.
Yep.
I think that's, if I don't think there's going to be an eruption either, by the way, but if there is, I think that's what happens as older football goes up. Not necessarily baseball. And quite frankly, based on what we've seen for baseball this year, it doesn't need the help. Baseball is doing just fine.
Abe wanted to know, with all the talk of Panini all the time, he wants to know, what's our favorite Panini? There was a guess that my favorite Flawless. Would be Cuban and yours would be a big chicken parm. But
a sandwich.
Yeah. I would say...
I'm in on a chicken parm.
I do like a Cuban. So, yeah. I think you nailed it, Rick Thomas. Great job. Mike Foley.
That guy's a creep. He's like literally been stalking us.
The parm. I knew that would be yours.
Like, the other day, I saw Mikey the chicken parm. He's wearing white socks. I'm like, what?
Michael Foley to know, what is the NFL going to do with the news about the NFLPA dropping Panini? That's no all clue. Speculation. We'll find out hopefully in the next week or two. Cody James. So as of right now, could Panini make cards with logos of retired players?
Yes.
Yes, right. With logos, yep. They can still do that of retired players. Will Robertson, can you guys clarify the rule on products that don't have the PA license? I seem to remember that they can only include 6 players that are members of the PA.
Is that accurate?
I've never heard that
this
before.
This is the Leaf exception. If you go back, so like Leaf Metal, Leaf Draft, Leaf Valiant, those are all prospect products because they're not in the PA yet. So... Wander was signing 3 years ago. J-Rod was in it. All these guys were in it before they make their PA, before they're in the PA.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was 2 though, because those have always had 2. Like 1 year it was Otani and Tatis, Acuna and Tatis, and it was Acuna and Vlad 1 year. There was like a little bit of an exception, but I don't know the legality of it, but that's what he's talking about. There was a rule.
Interesting. We've never talked about that before.
Honestly, and I hate to say this, we would have to have Brian Gray on to talk about that. Because he would
love
know.
To have Brian Gray on.
At least there used to be some sort of an exception. That's why even this year, Bobby Witt signed in Panini product this year. And Bobby Witt is in the PA this year.
Oh.
So there's something in place. I just don't know the specifics. That's a great question, though.
Okay.
So if that were the case with football, like, could you do the same thing?
Yeah, exactly.
All the retired vets. But here's the problem. There's not 2 guys who are going to carry that.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
But anyways, interesting point, though, on other topics. We should expand on that.
Michael CM from, oh, by the way, before I go to Michael's question, there were some other people asking if like Brian Gray left Leaf. I don't know where those rumors came from. And there was also rumors that, Fanatics was buying out Leaf. None of these things are true.
Brian's the owner of Leaf.
He's not going anywhere. He's still with them. And Fanatics is definitely not.
It was a
them,
fake so. Auto though. This was a thing that came up.
So, but that's yeah. And so
I would almost guarantee Brian addresses that. He's
already
pretty,
did.
Okay. Pretty public. Like, say, love him or hate him, he's very outspoken and gets in front of these things.
It was the guy who played Jason, I think, in like, I think the Friday 13th movies or something like that. Anyways, like as a kid, he played him. And so he signed these cards, but
Ari something, right?
Yeah. And then he came out on Twitter and said, this is fake. Totally, you know, not real. These are not my autos. But then
a loss to the world.
I know. Right. Brian came out though. And he was like, we have a signed affidavit from Ari, as well as a witness who also signed saying that these are his autographs.
Ari was like, I haven't been relevant in 35
exactly,
years. Like, stir it up.
Yep. That's exactly what everyone's saying. So,
that's funny.
Michael's question, with a lot of guys having money tied up in guys like Otani, Wander, Trey Lance, do you think that slows or impacts the overall card market?
Nope. This is the same cycle every year. Guys, last year, a lot of people had money tied up in Mac Jones when he tanked and Zach
Zion,
Wilson. Zion. Yeah. There's examples of these all the time. The world continues to spin.
Kyle Warren, with a range of outcomes from a freeze on cards to a long court battle with releases still allowed, what's your educated guess on how card shows will change or adapt price-wise, if at all? Anything
Nothing.
Specific you would personally try and chase with this news? Other than like older products?
No, I'm not even doing that. I'm just waiting to see what happens. I don't think it's a time to speculate.
I would go after an older product. That would be me. But
you canceled your sale. So
I did, but that was because I saw that I could buy it still for $950 other
Are
places.
You going to buy it for $950 then?
After I canceled it, I thought, well, maybe I'll just wait.
That's what I mean. I think,
But here's the thing. You can buy it. It was already selling for $999 on blow up. before the news came out.
Here's
so
problem.
If you can get it for $9.50, I don't think you're like necessarily losing anything. You just probably break even.
I could just see you crumbling on the witness stand. Like, I just broke you down. You went from, I would absolutely buy it. You know what?
I would buy it if I was in the market. I don't remember the last time. I've got a lot of money tied up in other things.
I don't remember the last time we were both hyped up. That's the issue today.
I know. We are both hyped up. Yeah. That's what it is. That is a weird thing. We're not like that usually. Shane McCulster?
Put you to sleep real quick.
Oh, do you want to go fight? Let's go in the other room and fight. We'll record it. We'll post it. You want to do it?
I mean, you are
scrappy and strong, but there's a whole weight thing against you, bro. You think that's not going to...
Jesse, please don't underestimate. I know you have some strength, and I think you're capable of violence. You know as well as I do, you're very timid physically.
I agree with that. No, I'm not disagreeing with that part of it. By the time you knew
what was happening...
I'm just saying there's a whole thing of if we're not throwing face punches...
I would absolutely be throwing face punches.
I feel very uncomfortable punching anyone in the face. But other than that, I would just lay on top of you. I would just wrap my arms around you.
Okay.
And I would get this arm right here, that would go around your head. That's all it would do. Now, granted, maybe you could get out of it.
I don't think it's going to, it's fine. The only thing worse than fighting is talking about fighting. In my head, I think one really good kick to your knee and it's probably over.
Here's the thing. You know how to fight. That's my problem. Like I got a Here's few the thing. Scraps You're my in best high school,
friend Jesse.
Oh, thank
and
you,
And I wouldn't
buddy.
Hurt you.
I wouldn't hurt you either. See, that's why
if
it's
you
fun to
die,
talk.
I will raise your kid.
Why did we jump right to
wife.
Me dying?
I'm just saying.
Are you gonna do something?
Well, after your outburst today, I just want you to know I don't feel that way. I am a friend through thick and thin.
Buddy. You know what a friend does? They forgive and forget.
Not after an hour. We're an hour and 9 minutes away from that outburst. All right, next
Shane McCulser, is it possible that Upper Deck could be a player for the leftovers of Panini? Anything's possible.
Dude, I tell you, it was great. Speaking about people, there was a comment. We posted the picture from the Space Needle from the All-Star game.
Uh-huh.
Some idiot commented today. And he's a Red Sox fan, too. I was like, talk about Boston just getting soft. This guy literally wrote, these are the two guys of the podcast who always talk tough. He wrote something like, one is hairless and the other one's overweight. He's like, no wonder they talk. I read this. Just reminded me, we
what
were
did
trash
he post that on?
On Instagram.
That's an old photo, too. That's what I mean. What a weirdo.
Like, it was just great, too. The fact that he made a comment about us talking tough. I was like, wait, just to be clear, you just found a 50-day-old post. But he was like, the hairless and overweight. Okay, back to the question.
Can we at least name him? That would be great.
No, I don't want him getting any followers.
Joseph Crum. Did we even answer?
No.
Yeah. Is there a chance? Sure, but who knows what Penny is going to look like?
Those questions we've said all. I mean,
we have to get more detail before we could speculate further down that rabbit hole.
I honestly, I'm hoping Jeremy can get somebody from the PA. He said he may be able to. That would be awesome to have somebody from the PA join next week. All right, there you go. Are we done? Can we be done now?
I think so. Thank you. By the way, thank you to everybody who made the Facebook group happen. We had 100,000 members as of today. That's incredible.
Groups for sale.
We'll continue to provide, hopefully, more breaking stories like this. We do have giveaways. Candy Digital is doing a really cool giveaway where they're basically, if you sign up, create an account through the links in the Facebook group, you are going to get a free pack and you're going to be entered so long as you provide us your username in the comments. You are going to be entered to win a shirt, a Sports Cards Nonsense shirt, signed by Mr. Pete Crow Armstrong himself. And ourselves, if you want those, if you want us to sign it.
I have decided. If the person is like, hey, I want it signed by us as well, I'll go out and get it shadow box framed. I think it'd be a fun little addition.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Unless they don't want us to sign it, then
if they don't want
us to
iron, I'm not even going to ship it to you. So there you go.
All right.
Good.
Yeah, that was it. Guys, I'll miss you.
Anything else to say to me?
I'll see you. It'll be 2 weeks before I'm back. So I'll miss you all. Mike will be here.
Mike, I apologize.
I apologize.
All right. I love you, buddy. Here's the deal.
Shut up. I love you.
I was going to say, because the plane crashes, I don't want the things you said to me to run
speaking. Stop talking about it.
We came to this agreement.
Sports Cards Nonsense.
Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. I will be back next week, Monday and Thursday, unless there's a new GSFE mail arriving in the world. Goodbye.
We love
See you then.